Last week, I introduced us to Corinthians. We looked at a little slideshow. We saw where Corinth is, and we kind of we looked at the first three verses. Actually, I think we looked at the first two verses, yeah. We just looked at the first two verses. We're going to look at the first nine verses. We'll look at verses 1 through 9 today a little bit. We're going to get a peek at it. And it's going to, as we read this, something's going to jump out at you. If it doesn't jump out, you're not paying attention. So please, Paul, if you can bring that up. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, starting with the first one. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because of our testimony and about Christ, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can read your word, that we can gather to worship, Lord, that we can seek your face, and that not just seek it, but find it. You're there to meet with us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word to read and to know, to guide us. Father, send your Holy Spirit to minister to us now, to show us how you would have us to understand this word. Show us how you would have us to apply this word to our lives. Show us how we, Lord, can better live for you. Father God, I pray that as I preach this morning, your hand of anointing would be upon me, that your people would be blessed and encouraged by the words I speak, that you would use me. That you would use me, Lord, to encourage your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I read the first nine verses, did it jump out at you? Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. In Him. In the first nine verses, Jesus is referred to by name nine times. In verse 2, he's referred twice. In the one verse where he's not referred to by name, he is referred to through a pronoun. In Him. Referring back to Christ Jesus. Now let's remember that Christ is Jesus' title. It's like calling me Pastor Bruce. Christ is the job, the task, what Jesus did, the office He fulfilled. The one who comes, the Anointed One, with the message of salvation for God's people. That's the Christ, Jesus. Jesus is the name of the man, the Son of God, who is fully God and fully man, who is the Christ. And this is what Paul puts forth in his introduction in his letter to the Corinthians. Jesus. 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 In fact, in the first 10 verses, the next verse after the ones I read, he refers to Jesus again, directly by name. And often also by office and relationship. Some of them he refers to as, you know, our Lord Jesus. Some it's in Christ Jesus. He is an apostle of Christ Jesus. His Son, referring to God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These are the words that I put out here. Paul is laying the foundation for the letter that he's writing. This letter is one that's going to deal with some very difficult issues. There are some problems in the church. There's divisions. There's immoral activity. There's people not being nice to each other. They're not playing nice. There's some theological questions. And Paul, in preparation for dealing with all that, takes us to Jesus. Well, I can't think of a better place to start. This is the starting point. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, I didn't quote it exactly right. Never been good at that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah, I did do it right. And He was with God in the beginning. I just never trust myself when I'm trying to quote. Jesus is the beginning. So we need to build on. And Paul points that out, that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's an apostle. That means he's sent with a message from Christ Jesus by the will of God to the church of God in Corinth, or in this case, to the church of God in Brooklyn Center. That meets here at Northbrook. Talked last week. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3 and verse 4, he says, I thank God for you because of His grace given you, Christ Jesus. So he prays blessing of grace upon them, and then he thanks God because they have that already. He's taking them to Jesus and he's saying, this is the truth. Jesus is the source of grace, the source of your salvation, the source of the blessings that you have. He's focusing in on Jesus to bring their focus there, to bring our focus there. We shouldn't be looking for answers for our solutions elsewhere. We should be coming to Jesus first. Our strength, our guide, our companion, it's all Jesus. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So God is faithful. And we've been called into fellowship with the Son of God. That is, with God. Fellowship. Come on. Fellowship of the ring. Yeah, I mean, I figured that I could get at least one Hobbit reference or Lord of the Rings thing out of this. But we see this. Fellowship. What does it mean? It means we're supposed to be with each other. We have a fellowship hall downstairs. Sometimes I don't think we use it properly. It's not about just eating and then leaving. Fellowship, that's not what fellowship is. Fellowship is being with each other. In an intimate yet non-sexual manner. It's about relation. Spending time with each other, knowing each other, garnering strength from each other. Support. We're supposed to be in fellowship with Jesus. Paul is bringing us back here and saying, okay, people, pay attention. Jesus Christ is what's important here. Start here. We'll move forward. But let's start here with Jesus. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. How many of you took up my challenge last week to read the entirety of 1 Corinthians? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I did it. I read. Oh, yeah, sure, Pastor. You're supposed to. So are you. I'm not supposed to any more than you are. How many of you at least read some of it? Picked up the Bible this last week and read some of 1 Corinthians. A couple more? Good. We need to pick up the Bible every day and read it. We're told that we can learn habits by doing that. One pastor in Florida is trying to teach his congregation good habits. And I'm going to read this to you, and then I never want to hear a complaint from any of you ever again about any of the challenges I put forth. A pastor in Florida has a new challenge for his parishioners. It involves sex. After all, it's appropriate. It's Valentine's week. Subject that may be taboo in many congregations. The Reverend Church in Tampa's Yarborough City has issued a 30-day sex challenge. It's going to be tempting and awkward at the same time, for sure, said parishioner Brent Kaysen. He said, single men and women can't have sex for 30 days. And married couples are urged to have it every day. You look at studies, it says that in 30 days you can develop a habit. It's according to the pastor. He said it caught the church wives by surprise. Our married couples are more fearful than our single people. Now, some of you just look at me in shock. Pastor, what are you talking about? Now, I think this is going a little overboard. And I'm not issuing that challenge, though it doesn't sound like a bad one. But I am going to issue a challenge that every day you pick up the Bible and you read in 1 Corinthians for the next 30 days. So you're not getting the whole thing read every week. That's okay. Read a page. Read a paragraph. Get the habit of reading this book. We're going to be here for a little while. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. And if we're going to be in it, it's best if we have all read this book and are familiar with it. So that when I come up here and I say this and such, you say, Pastor, no, you messed up that time. You meant this and that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. Because I make mistakes. You shouldn't be counting on me to always have it right. Be familiar with God's Word so that when I get it wrong, you can say, ah! I go, oops. Hold me accountable. You can't hold me accountable if you're not familiar with it. Read it. Know it. Start with Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 1. That's where we're starting. Paul brings us back to Jesus. This brings us back to Jesus. The letter to 1 Corinthians does that. Points us with a laser beam right at Jesus. So this next 30 days, I make the challenge. Read in 1 Corinthians. Find Jesus in 1 Corinthians. Now, don't find him in places where he's not, but look to see where he is. Okay? Do exegesis. You take Jesus out of the text. See where he's at. Here. Don't do eisegesis. So that's where I see Jesus everywhere. And, you know, and the whale must have been Jesus eating up Jonah. Or something, you know, no. So our challenge is we're reading 1 Corinthians. We all didn't do so good last week. Nice thing about a challenge is God is gracious and loving and forgiving. Even if your pastor isn't. He tries. God is a lot better at it than I am. And I thank him for that. Paul is thankful to Jesus. And he lays that out for the church in Corinth, even though they are a problem. Why? Because they are also part of the solution. They are the body of Christ, which is full of us. Anybody here perfect? If you are, please stand up. You can now be the senior pastor. Yeah, I'm seeing a couple of you move. There isn't any of us here perfect except Jesus. We're going to be looking in 1 Corinthians the next year. And we're going to be searching for what it is that Jesus has for us here. But in every search, we want to start where Paul started us. And that's with Jesus. Recognizing that Jesus is the source of our blessings. He's the focus of our blessing. He is the guide and our strength, our companion through all of this. He's the one whom gives us authority. He's the one who gave authority to Paul. He's the one who gives authority to us. For what, you say? For doing the work that he's given us, the church. This letter is not addressed to an individual, though we do apply it in some ways on an individual basis. More importantly, we need to apply this as a congregation. It's written to the church. That's us. So, I need to look. Keep. I left my glasses that have the rope on them sitting on the car that I'm working on in my mother's garage. So, we're going to go through Corinthians, and we're going to deal with the problems of unity, the problems of discipline, the problems of divorce, problems of doctrine, problems of worship, problems with tongues. We're going to look at the realities of the resurrection. We're going to see the encouragement that's there for the body of Christ. We're going to see these things. We're going to deal with them. Or at least Paul's going to deal with them. And we're going to see how he does it. But I can already tell you how he does it. Because he shows us in these first 9 verses. It goes to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can go to you. That we can go to Jesus, that we can go to the Christ, the Messiah, the source of our salvation. Lord, we thank you that you are not far off and distant, but that you are right here for us. We thank you for the grace and peace that you do give us, Lord. We thank you for the strength to overcome through the difficulties. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge and the spiritual gifts which you have supernaturally bestowed upon the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for your fellowship, that you are here with us, that we're just not meeting with each other, but that we're meeting here with you. Lord, might we learn the lesson that Paul is giving us here, that when we go to deal with our trials and tribulations of the day of our lives, as we try to help others through the difficulties, might we turn to you, Lord. Might we start with Jesus. Might we not go any farther than there in our search. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.